is a very simple, very short little message, but hopefully it is a thought-provoking message and a soul-searching message. It has been for me. I think it's a very needed message for us because we are being lied to every single day. And just as the enemy in the Garden of Eden said to Eve, has God indeed said, that same thing is being spoken to us every single day, so subtly that we aren't even aware of it. I've been thinking about this particular topic all summer long, and I've enjoyed hearing from the Lord and talking with the Lord about it and Him opening my eyes to areas in my life where my thinking didn't quite match the Word of God. Now that can maybe shock you if you're thinking, well, my thinking matches the Word of God, but I don't know, maybe we'll see after I'm through. Just a simple point I would like to make tonight, and that is if our thinking, which is our belief, is off just the smallest amount, if it's just a smidge away from the truth of God's Word, it can have devastating results in our lives. So we need to keep our heart in the truth. And I'm going to share a whole bunch of scriptures tonight, but if you just open your Bible to Psalm 119, 160, I'll get there in just a couple of, well, not even minutes, maybe seconds. And I will give you scripture references. You don't have to turn to them, but you can if you want. But I do encourage you to jot them down so you can talk about them in your group, or you can go back over them later. So we really let His Word and the message sink into our lives. God's Word is true. It is the only truth in this world. In Psalm 33:4, says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. I like verses like that, and there are so many of them, and I'm not going to, certainly not giving them all to you tonight, but I like them because they're very strong verses, and they're good for my heart and my mind. Revelation 15:3, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways. God's ways are true. They are right. Psalm 119, 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The entirety of His word is true. And if we do not believe the entirety of His word is true, we're just sunk. We're just sunk. You can't just take a little bit. People try. We watch them try. It doesn't work. The entirety of His word, every single word in this Bible is truth. It is true. And if we keep our heart, we keep our mind, we keep our lives in this truth, that's safe. We step outside of that, even the smallest amount, and it can just snowball. And again, it can be devastating in our lives. Speaking of Jesus in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, full of grace and truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way and the truth. and the life. Now, you know, I'm not a Bible theologian or Bible scholar or whatever, and I'm not here to prove the Word of God to be true or to be right. I'm kind of going with the assumption that that's what we believe because it's true and it's right. So I'm not going to dig into it any more than that. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus sets us free. There is truth of the truth of who he is and the truth of his ways sets us free. When we believe that, we put our faith in him and we live like that every single day, there's freedom. Everything else is bondage. Everything else is bondage. Anything away from the truth is going to be bondage. Big lies, all the way down to the smallest little bit of our thinking that might be off. It's bondage. It's not freedom. Now, I think each of us has someone or some more than one person in our lives that we have known or that we love, and that we have watched them stray away from the truth. And it's a very sad thing. And it starts very subtly. No one walks away from the truth just like that. The enemy comes in, "Has God indeed said?" And then it just snowballs from there. I've watched people that I love who have maybe adult children or people that they love in their lives who have walked away from the truth. And it's so sad. It's so sad to watch. If you have a child or a husband or someone close to you and they start believing a lie, it breaks your heart. The enemy comes in, "Has God indeed said?" They can start believing the world's philosophies. "Well, I believe most of the Bible, but I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that." Or it can just be their deceitful heart. There's a few favorite devotional books that I have that I kind of reread throughout the years. And one of them is by Edith Schaefer, and it's called The Art of Life. And Edith Schaefer is very different than I am, so I really like it because she paints a different picture and I need to see that. She said, "There is a dangerous pollution going on, sometimes with delicate deception. The music and the light through the stained glass seem the same. Phrases seem the same. Only a little is removed, a word there, a meaning somewhere else. This portion is deleted from history and changed into myth or parable. That portion is turned away from as unimportant or open to question. Satan polluted the verbalized, spoken teaching of God to the first man and woman, so he has continued to pollute the written word, the Bible, from one moment of history to another. Poisoned translations, poisoned teaching, poisoned writing, poisoned preaching. And all of that, it leads to poisoned thinking." And I started thinking about this. Lord, why do people who have known you and walked with you, why do they start believing a lie? Why don't they keep their heart in the truth? And I have to ask that about myself, and you can ask that about yourself. Why would I stray away from the truth of the word. And Jesus kind of answered that in John 3:19. He said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It is a heart that doesn't want to know, doesn't want to obey the truth. There is a love of darkness in every single one of us. Sorry to shock you or to disturb you with that statement, but it's true. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how close we've been to the Lord. It doesn't matter how close we are to the Lord and how many years we've walked with Him. We battle a sinful nature, and that sinful nature loves darkness. And we must adhere to the truth of God's word in obedience and then filling our minds with it so we don't stray away. Paul, in writing to Timothy, he said, in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, he said, for the time will come, and he's speaking of the last days, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They're going to be turned aside to whatever they want to believe. And we see it happening all around us with people that we love, people that we know. They're turning aside. And that's a warning to us too, that we don't turn aside, that we keep ourselves right where we're supposed to be. Now, there are severe consequences to those who turn away from the truth. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 1. You can turn there. I'm going to read quite a bit of it, or you can just sit and listen. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and in their foolish hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, also God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now that is very severe. I mean, that is the end result, is that God just says, if you want to believe this, then I will let you go your own way. I mean, that's extreme, and that's heart-wrenching and heart-breaking. And we can read that, and we can immediately exclude ourselves, because we would never suppress the truth in unrighteousness or ever exchange the truth of God for the lie. But we really need to examine our own hearts and our own lives and our own beliefs and our own thinking right now. Satan introduced doubt to the truth of God's word in the garden. Has God indeed said? Has he really said that? Did he really mean that? Well, that seems a little harsh. I don't think he really meant it that much. I think he only meant it this much. There are voices or influences in our lives every day. Every day we're influenced, good or bad. We're people, and people are very easily influenced. There are, especially this time of year, politicians. I don't know how many of you are political and listen to all of the things that are on the radio and written in the newspaper and all of that, and what you believe and all that. I don't know, but they can influence your thinking. Talk show hosts, whether it's, I don't even know who to name because I don't watch them, but Oprah, I don't think she's on anymore, but you know, all of those women's shows or talk radio or all these people that are just stating their opinion. Damien loves talk radio and Rush Limbaugh and, you know, all that. And we'll be in the car and say, I can't listen to it. I don't care what this man thinks. You know, never mind. I won't even go there. But it's just people giving their opinion. But as they're doing that, they're influencing our thinking. There's the analysts that, you know, they analyze everything, the political and world economy and the whole thing. We're listening. They're influencing our thinking. Celebrities. I don't know. Maybe you're into People Magazine and all of those kind of things. And, you know, what so-and-so says is what's, you know, I mean, we get influenced. There's TV shows. There's very neutral TV shows that, you know, you have the freedom, whatever, you can watch them, but they influence our thinking and we need to be careful. There's books, magazines, family, friends, all of that, those voices in our lives. If they are not speaking the truth of God's word, they're off just a little bit, and we continue to listen to them, then we are being conformed to their way of thinking. And we may not even realize this. We may not be aware that very subtly they are saying, God really said that? Did he really say that? Oh, that's really strong. Oh, that's what those people say, but I think this is what he meant. So I'm going to list a few things or name a few things that I would like us, and I'm going to do it very slowly because I would like us to really think about these things and how and where our individual, personal, nobody around you knows what you're thinking. But what our thinking is on that, what's our view, what's our belief on these things, and maybe in your groups you can talk about, okay, well now what does the Bible say about that belief? And what does the Bible say about this? And we can see where we are. And as I said, I have been, the Lord has been talking to me this whole summer on these issues and really honing in and sharpening me and refining my thinking on a lot of these issues. And again, not that you're way over there, but you can be off that much. Okay, so very slowly. What is your thinking? Are you keeping your heart in the truth when it comes to marriage and divorce? What does the Bible say? And what do you think? Are there exceptions in your mind? And that can happen when there's divorce in our family. We can start believing a little bit differently. But what does God say? What does the Word of God say? And where's my thinking on that? What about on adultery or fornication, sex outside of marriage? We know what the world thinks. Is our thinking a little closer to that, or is it right on target with the Word of God and what He says? What about living together? Oh, and really just as roommates. Where is our thinking? Are we right on target with the truth of God's Word? abortion, homosexuality, modesty. What about homemaking? Being a woman who stays at home, taking care of her family. What about crude language or slang? It's even in pulpits today. Where's our thinking? What does God's word say? What's the truth of his word? What about parenting? Is it according to the truth of God's word? Or are we letting our kids kind of conform our parenting skills? What about manners, etiquette? May not be absolute specific things in his word, but what does the truth of his word say on things like that? What about your self-image? How you think about yourself? Is it biblical? Is it truth? What about contentment? How about putting yourself first and your own happiness first? How does our thinking on that stand? Is it according to the truth of God's word? Or have we been conformed in any way to fables, to those things that we want to believe? Now, that there's obviously hundreds and hundreds of more things like that that we could name, but that's enough for us just to think about. I don't know how we did, but it's good to let the Lord search our hearts in those areas. Are we off at all? And, you know, we might think, and I tell you, this summer, as I was talking with the Lord on this, my thinking on a couple of these things might have been off a smidge. It's not like way over here. Probably most of us, it's not going to be way over there. It's going to be a smidge. But you know what? That smidge, it's wrong. It's a lie. It's not the truth. It is not the truth. So we might think, well, okay, my thinking's off. I'm not in that Romans category that we read earlier. There's an illustration that I have always liked when you're talking about just being off just a little bit, because there's a danger even if we're off the slightest bit. Okay, so Mike up in the room. If there's supposed to be some, oh yeah, here we go. Okay, consider this. If you're going somewhere and you're off course just by 1 degree, after 1 foot, you'll miss your target by 0.2 inches. But the farther out you get, I mean, because that just seems like minor, but the farther out you get, it's devastating. After 100 yards, you'll be off by 5.2 feet. Not huge, but noticeable. After a mile, you'll be off by 92.2 feet. 1 degree is starting to make a difference now. After traveling from San Francisco to LA, you'll be off by 6 miles. If you were trying to get from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., you'd end up on the other side of Baltimore, which is 42.6 miles away. Traveling around the globe from Washington, D.C., you'd miss by 435 miles and end up in Boston. In a rocket going to the moon, you'd be 4,169 miles off, nearly twice the diameter of the moon. Going to the sun, you'd miss by over 1.6 million miles, nearly twice the diameter of the sun. Traveling to the nearest star, you'd be off course by over 441 billion miles, 120 times the distance from the Earth to Pluto, or 4,745 times from the distance from Earth to the Sun. So over time, a mere 1 degree error in course makes a huge difference. And that really puts it into perspective, because we can think, well, it's just a little on this one little issue. It really doesn't matter. But carry that out. And there's no guarantee you're going to stop right in that one little thing. You know, we think we are, but you don't know. Carry that out. Devastating consequences. So has the enemy come to any of us dressed as an angel of light, looking good, sounding good? But has he come and has he said, has God really said? So we need to be very careful who we allow to speak into our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that evil company corrupts good habits. And when we are off just the slightest bit in our thinking away from the truth, it's compromise. And then compromise begins to direct us. And it'll spread to other areas. It's not going to be isolated to that one little area. And then we're in bondage. We're in bondage. We're not walking in the freedom because we're not walking in the truth. We need to adhere to the truth of God's word, because the truth sets us free. There is security in knowing that my thinking is right in line with what God says. There's peace in my life when my thinking is right in line with what God says. God's word, which, you know, maybe this week you should read Psalm 119. It's a long psalm, but it is full of, well, it is the word of God. It's full of the word of God, but full of those scriptures that speak about God's word, the love for God's word, and meditating on God's word. Oh, how we need that in our lives. God's word is a plumb line to us. Mike, I've got another picture here. When a carpenter builds a home, they use a plumb line. If they do not use a plumb line, which obviously on the Leaning Tower of Pisa, no one used a plumb line. You see how off it can be? At the bottom, it looks good, but it can be off. God's word is a plumb line. So when we stick to God's word, it keeps us safe. It keeps our thinking safe and right and true. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It corrects our thinking. God's word corrects our thinking. So we need to be in God's word every single day, all day. It washes our minds. It redirects that thinking when it gets off. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. All day long. To meditate on the word of God, we need to sow God's word into our lives, the truth of his word into our lives daily, to meditate on that truth, because the truth then will change us for good. The truth will conform us for good. And there's so many voices, so much influence. And what we're watching, what we're listening to, what we are reading, all of those things. And we need the word of God to wash our minds, our hearts. Proverbs 23:23 is very strong. It says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth. Stick to the truth. Do whatever you can do. Go to the truth. Get the truth. Ephesians 6:14, part of the armor of God is the belt of truth. And that belt held all the armor together. This is the truth, is the word of God. It hold that belt of truth we need to keep on every day because it holds everything together. So it's a very simple message. And I hope that the Lord has spoken to your heart as he did mine. Even if you're off just a little teeny bit. Ladies, it's important, so important, to get our thinking back on track with the word of God. So as we go into our groups, let's have iron sharpening iron time. Dig into the word. Open your Bibles and say, well, what does God's word say about this? Is my thinking off at all? Is it right on track with the word of God? And I just want to close with two scriptures that you can use as prayers in your life concerning this. Psalm 40:11, and then Psalm 43:3. Psalm 40:11. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. And oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. And Father, we pray for that for ourselves. We pray, Lord, that your truth would preserve us and that your truth would lead us, that your truth would lead our thinking. And then that thinking, that belief would change our lives and we would obey and we would walk with you. Lord, we sit here and this is a group of women who love you, who walk with you, and who want to grow in you. And Lord, I pray that you would just reveal to each of us any area in our life where we've strayed away from the truth of your word. I pray, Father, that you would give us great discernment so that we would hear when the enemy, when someone says, has God indeed said? We would know immediately, that's not right. That's a lie. And that we would correct our thinking. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, how we love your law. We love your word. Father, wash our hearts and our minds with your word. Lord, I pray that as we read your word and as we, maybe some of us, as we read Psalm 119 this week, Lord, would you use that in our lives? Sharpen us. And Father, I pray that as my sisters go into their groups, that it would be just such a good discussion, Lord, and that we would really encourage one another and share your scriptures and the truth of them, Lord. Thank you that the truth has set us free. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you are right, that you, your ways are just and true, that you are on the throne. Praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you.